Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, welcome to the water cooler. Might be a bit of a surprise. I'm actually not David Brody. I'm Eric Greitens, but I'm really happy to be stepping in. Don't we all want to be David Brody at some point in our lives? Well, today I get to pretend that I'm David Brody, and it's fun to start the water cooler with a fantastic, really important story that's out. You have to go check it out right now at justthenews.com. It's big. Impeachment blunder. The author of a tweet that was introduced at the trial says that it was falsified and misinterpreted. Well, the author of that story is none other than the founder and editor-in-chief of justthenews.com, John Solomon, and he's right here with us in studio. John, this is a big, big story.
Yeah, some of the people I've talked with in the last half hour say this is like the O.J. Simpson glove doesn't fit moment at the trial. Why is that, Eric? There was a moment at the trial where they're introducing tweets yesterday. There's two women who tweeted that they tweeted at President Trump, "We're bringing the cavalry," and then Trump retweeted them. And the congressman that was there at the time said, "This is proof, irrefutable proof that the president was endorsing a military-style assault on the Capitol, violence." There's only one problem. I wish those congressmen had a dictionary, because here's why. They didn't use the word cavalry, C-A-V-A-L-R-Y, which is a military brigade on horses. They use C-A-L-V-A-R-Y, which is the Christian word for the crucifixion, the hill where Jesus was carried.
Yes.
I reached out to one of the women. I finally got them. Her name is Jennifer Lawrence. She says, "I wasn't talking about a military brigade. I was talking about a prayer meeting we were going to have in Washington." This got completely misinterpreted. And then she raises another question, which is, when my tweet showed up on screen, it had a blue check next to it, meaning I'm a verified, influential Twitter user. I've never been verified. I don't have a blue check. Go to my site. So the tweet was not only doctored, it was completely misinterpreted. And this is going to be a serious moment. You're probably going to see the president's lawyers, certainly some of the jurors, come out and say, "Can you get your story right? Words matter. Facts matter."
Yes, words matter and facts matter. And this is a blunder of epic proportions. I mean, this is the House impeachment manager charging the president of the United States of America, saying that he wanted to bring the cavalry, which, of course, as all of our viewers know, is an armed force mounted on horseback. They'll be coming into Washington. That's what they're charging the president with, that he was going to bring in the cavalry. But what actually happened is that these were people who were engaging in prayer.
Yeah.
And they said they're bringing the Calvary, which, as you mentioned, the Calvary Hill is the hill just outside the walls of Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified. There are lots of Calvary churches across America. So they were coming to pray.
Yes.
And the House impeachment manager says they were coming armed and ready for violence.
I asked this woman, "Listen, did you ever intend violence? Did you have any IEDs you were building? Any batons? Any riot gear?" Said, "No, I brought a Bible, some pastors, and we had a prayer meeting." She wasn't even at the Capitol the day of the riot. She was at a hotel. She was watching just as upset as everyone else when they saw the terrible violence.
Yes.
She doesn't condone violence. She has an incredible character witness, too. Her pastor gets on, Brian Gibson. He comes on and says, "John, I was with her the moment she sent it." I said, "Are you using the right word?" She said, "Yeah, I'm referring to Jesus, the crucifixion. I'm not talking about a military brigade." So she brings a corroborating witness. Here's the big thing.
Yes.
There's a rule in criminal 101 prosecution.
Yes.
Never ask a question and never bring a witness if you don't know what they're going to say. The House impeachment managers presented these tweets yesterday. They never reached out to Jennifer Lawrence. They never asked her what her story was, what she meant. They didn't even check the spelling of the word. They could have, if they just had a Webster's
dictionary,
they would have been fine. big, big blunder. I think you're going to see a blowback on this. I'm hearing from a lot of people, lawyers, senators, and congressmen have been calling since this story broke. This is going to have some impact.
Well, what's really incredible about this also is that if you were a fifth grader and you were given an assignment, if you were a fifth grader given an assignment and you had to write a report, and back in my day before the internet, when you went to World Book and Encyclopedia Britannica, you'd open it up, you'd check your source.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the House Impeachment Manager.
Yeah, we don't matter.
Biggest stage in the world, charging the president of the United States with a crime, and they don't even bother to check their source.
Yeah, they don't.
They didn't even use a dictionary.
Yep.
It's really striking, and I think it suggests, you know, perhaps we don't know, but it certainly looks to people like this is an incredibly sloppy prosecution.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit. I mean, we've talked about cavalry and cavalry, but it sounds like they also falsified the user of the tweet and actually said that she had a blue check mark. Talk with our viewers about what that means and why it matters.
When you're a blue check mark verified user, it means you're a heavyweight on Twitter. You got some juice.
You're
Twitter
a John Solomon.
I didn't even get a blue check. But you're real
yes.
Donald Trump.
Yes.
You're real Jack Dorsey, you know,
right.
Or you're a Hollywood figure.
Right.
This woman had, a few thousand followers, but putting the blue check on there showing that she and Trump were both blue check folks meant that they were big heavyweights. They had influence. When this went out, it really influenced people. She said, I'm just a little person who did Twitter. I'm just a Christian who was on a bus going to Washington to throw a prayer meeting. And I think that sort of sloppiness, that sort of exaggeration, we've seen it many times, right? We saw it all through Russia. We found out that, Carter Page was supposed to be a spy. Turns out he was a CIA asset, not a Russian spy.
Right.
Christopher Steele didn't have anything verified. The FBI didn't have anything verified. This exaggeration to slam Donald Trump is a recurring theme in all of the accusations that have been made. And listen, if Donald Trump did something wrong, if there are facts to back it up, if there are witnesses to back it up, then bring it. Facts matter, words matter. These guys blew through the words, the meaning, and they didn't do their basic homework like that fifth grader.
They didn't do their basic homework. And let's also think about who was doing this. If I'm right, it was Eric Swalwell who was actually making these charges, who, as just the news has reported, he was one of the folks who was pushing the entire Russia collusion narrative for years.
Yeah.
That same narrative which you and your team at Just the News have reported on so extensively, for which there was no factual basis. You've reported that Christopher Steele himself, who was the basis for the whole Russia collusion hoax, said that the whole idea of it was to distract from Hillary Clinton's email scandal. But the point is that Eric Swalwell, the guy who pushed the Russia collusion hoax, is now telling these same lies, certainly looks that way, falsehoods about the president falsehoods about the president of the United States. And let's also say this, we're going to be talking with the pastor in a moment. He's not only attacking the president of the United States, he's actually putting a woman who came to Washington, D.C. to pray, and he's putting her in the international spotlight and accusing her of coming to incite.
Jennifer Lawrence told me in the podcast today that when within a few hours of Swalwell putting her name on national television, showing her tweet, she began to get security threats, had to go hire a security detail. She's in hiding right now because of the danger to her personal security. That's why words matter, why facts matter, why responsibility of prosecutors are to get their facts before they present it to the jury. There are other consequences beyond just making a faux pas in the middle of a trial. It's that real lives and reputations get ruined this way. When I talked to her, she has a very strong Christian belief. And she said to me, one of the things that strikes me is that you have all of these people telling us how to live in America, government officials, and they don't even know the basis of Calvary, which, a lot of Christians in America, they know what a Calvary is. They know that's where Christ died on the cross.
Yes.
And she felt offended that he could so easily misinterpret that to mean a military thing.
Yeah.
And I think that gets to a larger disconnect. It's why Donald Trump came to power in the beginning.
Yes.
There were so many Americans that didn't think government, political elites, media elites understood their life, their faith, their needs, their questions, their voices weren't heard. And I think that this event is a small event that speaks a large volume about the disconnect between real people in America and what the elites in Washington are doing every day.
Well, and it also suggests how real people are hurt.
Yeah.
In this instance, like a woman who came to Washington, D.C. in prayer. I didn't know this, that she's actually in hiding. And for folks who want, they can get all of the details of your conversation with them on John Solomon Reports, which is your podcast. Right. They can go to justthenews.com, hear your entire conversation with them. And I encourage everybody to do that.
Right.
But she is hurt by this. Her family is hurt by this. And I think it also just speaks to a kind of recklessness that you'd be willing to put someone's name out there. You know you're going to draw international attention to them, and you didn't even bother to check with her or even look in the dictionary to see what this meant.
Yeah, I when I got into the profession of journalism,
there
was an adage, get it first, but first get it right.
Yes.
And today, too often in politics and in media, reporters are just as guilty as this. It's get it first and hope it's right. And I think in this case, the congressman should have done 5 minutes of extra work, check the dictionary spelling, call the women, do a pre-interview. There's no harm in that. You're not only making a political point, you're informing the American public. And in this case, there seems to be a clear misinformation that was passed along on one of the biggest stages in the world and in a trial that our founding fathers intended to be a really big moment. Impeachment isn't we're not putting a name on a post office today. It's a big deal. To be that wrong, it's harmful to the process. It's an insult to the institution. I've heard from senators already. I've heard some from members of Congress. This is a little story that I think is going to have some big impact.
Well, I think it has tremendous impact because oftentimes there are these small moments that come to define a larger moment in American history.
Yeah.
This was an extraordinarily quick impeachment, the fastest in American history. Took over a month for them to impeach President Clinton, for example.
That's right.
And this was done so quickly, and I think a lot of people felt like the process itself was not befitting the dignity of the office of the President of the United States. And now it appears that we have a moment where people who came to pray were being accused of coming armed on horseback to the Capitol.
Yeah.
Well, folks, it's a pleasure being here in David Brody's seat on the water cooler. Make sure you go to justthenews.com right now. Check out this story about the impeachment blunder. Send it to all of your friends and go to the podcast, John Solomon Reports. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the pastor at the center of this episode. We'll be back in a minute.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Well, I'm Eric Greitens, sitting in for David Brody on the water cooler. And as I said, we all want at some point in our lives to try and be with David Brody while I'm here. We're having a lot of fun. Important story that we just broke. If you didn't have a chance to do it, go out to justthenews.com. Check out John Solomon's latest story. You're going to be hearing about this for months. People who came to Washington, D.C., to pray were accused by the Democrats of coming armed on horseback. It's an incredible story. Well, I want right now to actually go to the impeachment, which is live, give you a chance to have a listen. Take a listen here.
Impeach, remove, convict, disqualify, start all over again, because the interests of the people are so much greater than the interests of one person, any one person, even the greatest person in the country, the interests of the people. Or would count. Now, when we sit down and we close, our distinguished counterparts, the defense counsel, who have waited very patiently, and thank you, will stand up and seek to defend the president's conduct on the facts, which I think they will. It has already been decided by the Senate on Tuesday that the Senate has constitutional jurisdiction over this impeachment case brought to you by the United States House of Representatives. Okay. So we've put that jurisdictional constitutional issue to bed. It is over. It's already been voted on. This is a trial on the facts of what happened. And incitement, as we said, is a fact-intensive investigation and judgment that each of you will have to make. We've made our very best effort to set forth every single relevant fact that we know in the most objective and honest light. We trust and we hope that the defense will understand the constitutional gravity and solemnity of this trial by focusing like a laser beam on the facts and not return to the constitutional argument that's already been decided by the Senate. Just as a defense lawyer who loses a motion to dismiss on a constitutional basis in a criminal case must let that go and then focus on the facts which are being presented by the prosecutors in detail, they must let this constitutional jurisdictional argument go. Not just because it's frivolous and wrong, as nearly every expert scholar in America opined, but because it's not relevant to the jury's consideration of the facts of the case. So our friends must work to answer all of the overwhelming, detailed, specific, factual, and documentary evidence we have introduced of the president's clear and overwhelming guilt in inciting violent insurrection against the union. Now, Donald Trump last week turned down our invitation to come testify about his actions, and therefore we've not been able to ask him any questions directly as of this point. Therefore, during the course of their 16-hour allotted presentation, we would pose these preliminary questions to his lawyers, which I think are on everyone's minds right now, and in which we would have asked Mr. Trump himself if he had chosen to come and testify about his actions and inactions when we invited him last week. One, why did President Trump not tell his supporters to stop the attack on the Capitol as soon as he learned of it? Why did President Trump do nothing to stop the attack for at least 2 hours after the attack began? As our constitutional commander-in-chief, why did he do nothing to send help to our overwhelmed and besieged law enforcement officers for at least 2 hours on January 16th after the attack began? On January 6th, why did President Trump not at any point that day condemn the violent insurrection and the insurrectionists? And I'll add a legal question that I hope his distinguished counsel will address. If a president did invite a violent insurrection against our government, as of course we allege and think we've proven in this case, but just in general, if a president incited a violent insurrection against our government, would that be a high crime and misdemeanor? Can we all agree at least on that? Senators, I've talked a lot about common sense in this trial because I believe that's all you need to arrive at the right answer here. You know, when Tom Paine wrote Common Sense, the pamphlet that launched the American Revolution, he said that common sense really meant two different things. One, common sense is the understanding that we all have without advanced learning and education. Common sense is the sense accessible to everybody, but common sense is also the sense that we all have in common as a community. Senators, America, we need to exercise our common sense about what happened. Let's not get caught up in a lot of outlandish lawyers' theories here. Exercise your common sense about what just took place in our country. Tom Paine wasn't an American, as you know, but he came over to help us in our great revolutionary struggle against the kings and queens and the tyrants. And in 1776, in the crisis, he wrote these beautiful words. It was a very tough time for the country. People didn't know which way things were going to go. Were we going to win? Against all hope? Because for most of the rest of human history, it had been the kings and the queens and the tyrants and the nobles lording it over the common people. Could political self-government work in America was the question. And Paine wrote this pamphlet called The Crisis. And in it, he said these beautiful words. And with your permission, I'm going to update the language a little bit pursuant to a suggestion of Speaker Pelosi, so as not to offend modern sensibilities. Okay, but he said, these are the times that try men and women's souls. These are the times that try men and women's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will shrink at this moment from the service of their cause and their country. But everyone who stands with us now will win the love and the favor and the affection of every man and every woman for all time. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, but we have this saving consolation. The more difficult the struggle, the more glorious in the end will be our victory. Good luck in your deliberations.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I have two, we're going to do the adjournment resolution in a moment. I have two other things that we have to do. They're quick. First, Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent that it be in order to make several unanimous consent requests as if in legislative session.
The objection is ordered.
I ask unanimous consent that on Friday, February 12th, from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., that notwithstanding adjournment, the Senate be able to receive House messages and executive matters, committees be authorized to report legislative and executive matters, and senators be allowed to submit statements for the record, introduce bills and resolutions, and make co-sponsor requests, and where applicable, the Secretary of the Senate on behalf of the presiding officer be permitted to refer such matters.
Objection to all.
And a second request, poignantly appropriate at this moment. I ask unanimous consent that pursuant to the order of the Senate of January 24th, 1901, the traditional reading of Washington's farewell address take place on Monday, February 22nd, following the prayer and pledge. Further, that Senator Portman be recognized to deliver the address.
Is there objection? Not hearing objection. It's ordered.
And finally, Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent the trial adjourn until 12 noon tomorrow, Friday, February 12th, and this also constitute the adjournment of the Senate.
Hearing objection. Without objection, it's ordered. Senate's adjourned.
Well, that is just wrapped the Senate trial of President Donald Trump. And fortunately for us, we are joined now, that big story that we just discussed with John Solomon, we are now joined by Pastor Brian Gibson and Jennifer Lawrence. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having us.
All right, Jennifer, first, I just want to get it on the record. I want to make sure so everybody knows, were you planning to come on horseback armed to the Capitol that day?
I mean, as amazing as that sounds, you know, I'm not much of a horseback rider. I'm from New York, so haven't really done much horseback riding.
Jennifer, you guys were coming to pray. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had a Save America prayer service on the 5th in January at Freedom Plaza. And that's when we brought all a bunch of religious leaders together, including Pastor Gibson and Pastor Locke, and just a whole bunch of people who just wanted to be there for the fellowship and to really pray for our president and pray for our country and pray against, you know, the evil forces that seem to be making way through this nation in so many ways. And, you know, we arm ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ, and, you know, he covers us with the Holy Spirit. So I didn't need weapons. I didn't need a horse. I didn't do anything. But I think that, you know, standing up and speaking out against what's wrong is just as powerful.
Yes, and you came, and again, we discussed this with John Solomon, who's done a great piece that's available at justthenews.com. But you were talking about coming with the cavalry, and then you have Eric Swalwell, the House, you know, impeachment manager, saying that you're coming with the cavalry. What does it tell you, Jennifer, when you were coming as an American citizen who wanted to express your First Amendment rights to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, you wanted to pray, and then this is misinterpreted on an international stage, and they accuse you of wanting to come to engage in armed violence?
Yeah, you know, I think it really speaks to where our nation is as a whole, and the big pit that is just the elephant in the room is that we've lost religion in this country. Mm. We've lost our foundations. You know, our founding fathers looked to the Bible, looked to the other things like this and religion to be make our country as great as what it is today. We've always been founded on religion. Leaders throughout history have always invoked Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's only until recently these liberal Democrats seem to have a big problem, you know, with Jesus and the Bible and being a Christian nation. And they're calling us terrorists. But you know what it really does show me is that Representative Swalwell needs a little bit of Jesus in his life if he could mess something like that up, because obviously he doesn't know what the Calvary is. And I feel sorry for his soul.
Well, you know, and Jennifer, I think one of the things that was struck me, and Pastor, I want to get your thoughts on this, because Pastor, you have to go and you have to minister every week, and you're actually looking at the Bible, you're reading words, and words matter. One of the things that strikes me is that you've seen leftists go out and they want to rename schools. You can't have schools named after Thomas Jefferson. You can't have them named after Abraham Lincoln. But of course, all of our founding fathers, they were familiar with the Bible. Most of our viewers recognize that in the early days of the American Republic, if there was one book in a household, it was the Bible. If there were two books in a household, it was the Bible and Pilgrim's Progress. Pastor, what does it say to you when you have a Democrat in the well of the Senate accusing the President of the United States of a crime, and he's not even familiar with these basic terms from the Bible?
Well, it's unbelievable to me that a man in this position could make this sizable blunder. He did a couple of things. Number one, he changed that term Calvary and confused it with people armed on horses. The second thing he did is he added a verified check to Jen's tweet as well, which both of those things never happened. As a matter of fact, I was with them for 4 weeks traveling the country. I'm a gospel preacher, so I was preaching the gospel at rallies, and I was standing up and speaking about our First Amendment rights of freedom of religion, which is what America was built upon. America did not build the church. The church built America. So I've been very vocal about that this year. But I saw Jen's tweet come through. I was on the bus whenever she tweeted that out. The president retweeted it. And I walked over to them and I said, hey, guys, I'm a theology major. I'm a pastor. Yes. That word Calvary jumped off at me. And I said, hey, guys, do you see how this is spelt? And they said, absolutely, Pastor. That's what we meant to do, because we have you guys preaching the gospel. We're going to pray. We're going to stand for religious liberty. And all of the speakers spoke about those basic fundamental Christian rights. And now we have a leftist really hit job coming against people of faith, taking the actions of a few and trying to hammer Christians across America, and not just Christians, but conservatives. The mood is rude, and we need to stand up and keep America, America.
Absolutely. And Pastor, Calvary, of course, is the hill outside of the walls of Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified. Most folks who are familiar with the Bible know that. But even if you didn't, one of the things that you'd think you would do before you put something out on an international stage and accuse someone of participating in a crime, you'd think you'd at least open the dictionary. Jennifer, talk a little bit about what's happened to you, please, and what's happened to your family since they did this and they blatantly falsified and misinterpreted what you said.
Yeah, you know, they gave me no warning. I never even got a call, a heads up to say, hey, we're going to be including, you know, what we're going to be including your tweets in the trial. I never got a call like that. I actually got a call from my brother, who him and I don't really agree on politics. He got a call from one of his friends that was like, oh my God, I just saw your sister in the impeachment trial. So that's how I found out about it. And, you know, being on the March for Trump bus tour since November and going around the country, I mean, we've had people show up at our events with Molotov cocktails. We've had death threats nonstop. We had a guy show up in Nashville, I think, that had a chain with a bolt on the end coming to do, you know, coming to harm people. And, you know, I just think back to last summer as we saw our cities burning to the ground. We saw the incendiary language coming out of our politicians from the Hill. We saw all this happening. Is there a trial? Did anybody get in trouble? Did anybody lose their job? No. Yet people, Antifa, I mean, I would like to argue Antifa is one of the main contributors to what happened at the Capitol. But they're not on trial. It's white Christian men who are getting in trouble here, white Christian women. They are targeting Christians, and we cannot allow this. This is the foundation of our country, and we are allowing government officials to call out private citizens. I mean, where is my right to call out Eric Swalwell for sleeping with a known Chinese spy?
This is an important point for our viewers to remember, is that Eric Swalwell, who is the person who falsified your tweet, and we're gonna keep going here because this is such a great conversation. If you guys have the time to stick with us, we wanna keep going for our
Absolutely.
Viewers. You know, one of the things Eric Swalwell was actually the guy who was in part just one of many who was pushing the bogus Russia collusion hoax narrative for such a long time. Well, we're going to have to take a break, Jennifer and Pastor, but when we come back, we'd love it if you could stay right with us. I know that our viewers are going to want to hear more from you. And folks, this is Eric Wrighton sitting in for David Brody on the Water Cooler. Stay right with us. We're going to be back with more with Pastor Brian Gibson and Jennifer Lawrence on this really important story.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, welcome back to the Water Cooler. I'm Eric Wrighton sitting in for David Brody today. We are joined again by Pastor Brian Gibson and Jennifer Lawrence. As most of you saw, you had the chance to read, I hope, the fantastic story written by John Solomon at justthenews.com. You can also listen to John's podcast where he sat down with Jennifer and the pastor at John Solomon Reports. Jennifer, I want to come back to you on this really important point. You know, there's so many Americans right now who are worried about where the country is at. So many Americans who have been affected by so many decisions that politicians have made over the course of months, especially as it relates to coronavirus, et cetera. But for you, right at this moment, you've had a member of the House come down and falsify, certainly, and absolutely misinterpret what you were saying. You said that you were coming to Washington, D.C. to pray. They accused you of coming and bringing an armed force. Have you received any apology yet from these folks on the House Democratic Committee who falsified and misinterpreted your tweet?
No, I haven't. And I even asked, I put out a tweet earlier asking them to contact me that I would like to set the record straight. I'm not afraid of them. You know, I think that the position of congressman and senator has been abused, and they really have used their power to go after people, to vilify people, to use the media and lawfare to take people out, good people that they don't agree with. And, you know, they're blaming me for bringing the cavalry. But the problem is that they think the cavalry, they think Jesus Christ is just as dangerous as an invading army. And you know what? If you're fearful of Jesus Christ, well, maybe you should take some time and talk to him, because I don't know about your soul, but I'm not worried. And I know that Jesus Christ is going to stick with us, and we are going to get through this as a country. Because this is a Christian nation, and there is no force more powerful than Jesus Christ.
And Pastor, if you would, talk about from your perspective as a pastor. Again, Calvary was the site of where Jesus was crucified. It was a small hill outside of the walls of Jerusalem where someone was crucified based on bogus charges. Do you see any analogy to the present day?
100%. If this is an illustrated sermon, I don't know what is. So yeah, I've been to the actual Garden Tomb multiple times, also the Church of the Sepulchre, where different faith traditions say that's Calvary. And that is the place where the Son of God, one of those places, I don't know, God knows, but I know he did die, was placed in a tomb and resurrected. And he died on false accusation. And if this hasn't been the hour of false accusation, I don't know what is in America. I see false accusation against Jen. And I'll tell you what, these reckless actions of Swalwell really puts Jen's life in danger. A lot of people that haven't been in these positions where it's high profile, it's politically charged, they don't understand that a lot of times crazy people and even paid people start gunning at you to make your life miserable. My family just went through that. We had to have armed security for a long Wow. period of time. I was followed. My house was broken into. The gate in my backyard was kicked down 2 days ago. Wow. So for them to put Jen in this position without warning or without questioning or asking is really taking her outside of Jerusalem and, you know, whipping her with the cat of nine tails and trying to put her up on the old rugged cross. But here's what I know. Anything the evil or the devil or the world tries to bury, God always resurrects it. So that's the gospel hope. There's always a resurrection coming after a tough time.
Good. And Pastor, talk a little bit, if you would. This has obviously been hard for Jen. It's been hard for you. It's been hard for everyone associated with your families when you have someone like Representative Swalwell who so recklessly falsifies and misinterprets your tweet. What do you make of the fact not only that he's, you know, we could say he's misinterpreting cavalry, he certainly should have looked it up, he certainly should have been familiar with it, but he also, and this is an important point to make, he actually falsified the tweet by making Jen out to be someone who she wasn't by putting that blue check mark on there. Pastor, first you, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's my understanding. Now, I'm no attorney. I'm a pastor. You guys know that. But things aren't admissible as a tweet into a legal setting unless someone has the check mark. That's what I've been told. That's what I understand. So for them to take Jen, who Jen, we all think you're a big deal, but I don't have that blue check.
You
either.
Just became a big deal.
Yeah,
you certainly
Twitter
just became
like
a big
me.
Deal, Jen.
Yeah. It's okay. Twitter doesn't like me, guys. I'm verified on Instagram.
Hey, I'm not verified anywhere. But for him, but I don't look for this world to verify me. Come on, if Jesus verifies us, that's all we need. Our family, Jesus. But. For him to do that and to add that, I think it's telling that they were trying to put a little more on this than was really there. And I think that's been the heart and the spirit of this bogus impeachment trial. It's been a whole lot of theatrics, a whole lot of tears. Absolutely, we condemn everything that happened up there with the breaking of the glass. And I mean, come on. That's not our movement. That's not right. Who we are. I have an organization called Peaceably Gather. Jen's a person of peace. But for them to vilify us like this, it really is junior league, and they didn't even do their homework, which is shocking for a man of his level.
And Jen, I want to come to you on that point. It's very clear for anybody who knows the facts that you are coming to pray. You're coming to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. to pray. And both you and the pastor have also been extraordinarily clear that not only did you not come for violence, which was the accusation, but that you absolutely do not condone it in any way, that you were coming mm-hmm. as part of a peaceful movement in prayer. Just in the last 30 seconds that we have left, Jen, what's your message to the country right now?
I really think we need to think about when you vilify people like this for your own political gain, and is exactly what he did. I mean, it's perjury, and to make it so it's submissible, that's a big deal. And I think that he needs to be held accountable for that, because if it was any one of us, we would be put in jail and arrested for lying to the court. Now, we need people like this to be held accountable. Our lawmakers cannot be above the law. Donald Trump did nothing wrong, and I'm going to stand with Donald Trump and defend him, because the man deserves to be defended. And people like Eric Swalwell should pay for the crimes he's committed, including having a relationship with a known Chinese Communist Party member.
Well, Jennifer, we certainly appreciate you. Pastor, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. We know that this has been a trying time. We appreciate your bravery and your spirit of hope, and very much appreciate your willingness to join us right here. Well, folks, stay right with us here on The Water Cooler, because when we come back, we're going to be joined by Jenna Ellis in just a minute.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Back to The Water Cooler. I'm Eric Greitens, in for David Brody today. If you've been with us, you've been following this really important story, go out right now to justthenews.com and read John Solomon's latest story about this impeachment blunder. Jennifer Lawrence came to Washington, D.C. on January 5th to pray. She tweeted to the President of the United States that she was bringing the cavalry, that she was bringing people who are going to be engaged in prayer. Well, what happened? Representative Eric Swalwell, one of the House Democrat impeachment managers who is in charge of trying the President of the United States of America for the charge of incitement, he said that Jennifer was bringing the cavalry. And he used this as proof that the president was supporting an armed insurrection in Washington, D.C. That's right, folks. That's a kind of homework that was being done by a congressman of the United States who was on the largest stage in the world. And if he'd been a fifth grader, he would have been flunked for not checking his sources. You just heard from Jennifer and her pastor about how this has affected her. I want to bring in now Jenna Ellis, constitutional lawyer, former counsel to President Trump, for her take on this. Jenna, this is an almost unbelievable moment.
Oh my gosh.
Here we are, and you've got people coming saying that they're bringing the cavalry, which we remind all of our viewers is the hill outside of Jerusalem,
yes,
where Jesus was crucified. They said they were coming in prayer. And you've got the House Democrats who clearly, like, whether they're religious or not, are so unfamiliar with the Bible that they took this, they didn't even look it up in a dictionary, and they interpreted that the president was encouraging people to come armed on horseback. And this was their evidence. I mean, what do you make of this?
Oh, this is just another classic Democrat blunder of totally overreaching and of saying, oh, we finally found something that we can go, and they're just rushing through this. They're not checking their sources whatsoever. They don't care about fact or truth. They're just trying to put anything up against the wall and see if it sticks, and it is backfiring on them completely. This is another Swalwell moment. He has not had a lot of great moments in the media lately, and whoever, you know, put him up as impeachment manager and in their backroom talks and suggested that just, you know, because he's Eric Swalwell, that wouldn't have been my first choice. But, you know, this is really highly embarrassing for them. But I think it just shows also, Eric, why it's so incredibly important to actually take your time when you are actually bringing forward any sort of charge, whether it's in a Senate venue or whether it's actually in a judicial forum. Hopefully, if they had actually taken their time with this and looked at the evidence, they wouldn't have been caught in this embarrassing moment.
Well, you know, I also think that sometimes in history, there are moments, small moments, that come to define an entire episode. And I have to believe that this is actually one of them. You know, you had a president of the United States who told people to peacefully and patriotically head over to the Capitol. You had a woman who was coming to Washington, D.C. to pray. She wasn't even at the Capitol. Her own pastor was there with her, and both of them were engaged in prayer. They sent this tweet out. And what happens? You've got leftists and Democrats who are coming in and accusing them of being part of an armed insurrection. And you heard her say that this has actually been terrible for her family. She actually had to go into hiding
when this
came out.
Oh my gosh. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where they're just going looking for villains instead of going where the facts lead. Now, any good investigator knows that you go where the facts lead you. You don't just have a conclusion in search of the evidence. But clearly that's what the Democrats are doing. They're just trying to find anything that they possibly can to fit their narrative. And this was something where, you know, maybe the Democrats need a little bit of religion. They can go to the Calvary Chapels. You know, which is my parents grew up in Southern California. You know, that I've grown up in Calvary Chapels all my life. It's a really great church network. But of course, you know, is the hill and, you know, where Jesus was crucified.
Also,
it's like, just come on. You know, don't just put all of these Christians into one category. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to criminalize religion as well.
Well, and I think one of the things that's also striking is just kind of the reckless illiteracy of the left.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, look. Whether you're religious or not, right, you'd think that someone who's a congressman in the United States of America would be familiar with John Locke, with Thomas Jefferson, with the Founding Fathers, all of whom were familiar with the Bible. Well, Jenna, I so appreciate you joining us and giving us your comments and thoughts. I want to turn now to Rick Green. He's the founder of Patriot Academy. You can check him out at patriotacademy.com. He's a former member of the Texas House of Representatives. Rick, what do you make of what we are seeing right now?
Well, Eric, it's political theater without question. It's the apex of political theater. And the problem is they're actually pretty good at it. Until these little slip-ups like the Calvary issue and even in terms of what they said that Mike Lee said or did. So at least we're catching them on a few of these things. Up until those two items, though, man, I got to tell you, they painted a pretty convincing picture because they are literally making this up as they go. It is not based in fact. It's not based in truth, even though they keep saying this is about truth and this is about the rule of law. But they should get an Academy Award for their writing and for their acting right now. This is very much like what Tolkien or Lucas would do. They've created an alternative universe where the rules have completely changed. The Constitution has completely changed into something they want it to be. The things the president said have been completely changed and applied to things that he wasn't even talking about. So it's definitely theater. It's the apex of theater, which means it's fake.
Yeah, and Rick, what do you make of the fact that very clearly here you had people who were coming to Washington, D.C., ready to exercise their constitutional rights to freedom of religion, to freedom of expression. They were engaged in peaceful prayer. And then you had Democrats accusing them on the biggest stage in the world of actually being part of an armed insurrection.
You know, it makes about as much sense as blaming every single Lakers fan for the riot that took place October 12th, just 3 weeks before the election, whenever the Lakers won the championship and 76 were arrested, 8 police officers hurt, and 30 buildings damaged. Should we blame LeBron James for that? Should he, as the leader of the Lakers, be in an impeachment trial like what we see right now? Should he be blamed for inciting the riot for the things that he said all last year that ginned up a lot of angst in the country? Of course not. I mean, that's ridiculous that we would do that or blame peaceful Lakers fans. for what those few did that night on October 12th. In the same way, hundreds of thousands of peaceful, Constitution-loving, America-loving, praying and worshiping folks came to Washington, D.C. to support their president peacefully, and for them to be blamed for the actions of a few, it's wrong. But of course, right now, the rule of law, the Constitution, the very rules by which our nation were founded have been thrown out the window because the Democrats are foaming at the mouth. They want that disqualification phrase in the Constitution so bad that they're willing to lie to get it.
Well, Rick, we so appreciate you joining us. And folks, if you want to find out more, you can follow Rick Green. He's the founder of the Patriot Academy. Check him out at patriotacademy.com. Rick, we appreciate you being with us. And folks, we appreciate all of you joining us for today's show on the Water Cooler. Remember, get out to justthenews.com. Read this story by John Solomon. Send it out to your friends and get it out on social media. This is a big moment. It's a really important story, and we're honored to have you join us today on the Water Cooler. David Brody, we'll be back soon. And that's it for today.